these, and one of them is very difficult to read, but I'll try. But this one's easy. It's from Tobago, the West Indies. The members of the church at Lafayette, P.O. Box 1404, Lafayette, Georgia. Dear members, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to let you know that your pastor ministered unto my wife and myself during his stay in Trinidad for the regional prophetic conferences, April 6th through 8th. We were really blessed by his ministry and would like to extend heartfelt thanks to you for releasing him to come to Trinidad. We hope that the Lord will allow him to return here sometime in the future. We are praying for you all and would continue to remember you in our prayers. Continue to hold you up unto the Lord. Remain strong, yours in Christ, Pastor Kendall Noel. That's one. And I have another one that's a little harder to read, but I want to do it. This is the pastor that I spent a lot of time with, and he and his wife. I'm praying one day that this couple will be here and come see us. Before I left, we were at Steve Lytle's, and we were having our care group. And Steve Weaver gave me a word and was talking about a little short gal with a round face. What? Steve Lytle did? Okay. I remember Steve Lytle. I remember him. And anyway, and this man's wife, her name is Joy, fits exactly that description. But anyway, and his name is Pastor Lou Thompson. So I'm going to try to, he doesn't write very well, but I will get through it. To the members and congregation of the church at Lafayette, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I wish to express our deepest appreciation for the privilege of having your pastor, Brother Delbert Young, visit the Church of Christ in the island of Trinidad for the Bill Hammond Prophets Conference. We are especially thankful to the Lord that he was able to minister at the Assembly of Cova in central Trinidad. Our church is in the midst of the seat of Hinduism in our country, and his ministry has been a tremendous blessing to the entire congregation. My wife, Joy, and I both have been widely blessed by Brother Young. He personally spoke into our lives and helped to meet a very deep need we both showed in the work of the Lord. We both shared in the work of the Lord. Your pastor loves God, and he loves God's people. We certainly hope that we can have him return for further ministry at some future time. We particularly enjoyed his teachings on the foundation stones of the temple. Please be encouraged in the Lord and stand in the power of his might. You have been a blessing to the church in Trinidad and in the Caribbean. Stand fast in the Lord. May the Lord richly bless you. Extend special greetings to Sister Young and his family in Christ. Lou Thompson, pastor. I was praying this morning after we had communion, and I have another one, but it's basically just asking for some stuff that I have prepared for the temple teaching. I was praying this morning, and I was suddenly found myself praying and thanking the Lord for what he has allowed me to experience over these past 5, 6, 7 years. It's been astounding when I stop and I think about it. The people that he has allowed me to minister to, the things he's allowed me to do. And I'm so grateful to the Lord. And I'm grateful to you for allowing me the privilege and opportunity to be your pastor. I thank you. I want to look at today the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I say today because I want to do this morning and tonight. And while you're turning there, I want to flip up the announcements one more time, if I can locate them. The main thing I want to talk about is that Mike Oliver will be here Saturday. And he will be doing something with the youth. Steve is going to have a youth ministry for our home. We initially thought that what we were going to be doing was having an outreach for other churches. But then Mike really felt of the Lord just to have it basically with people that attend here so that he can impart into them, because what the Lord is having him do is return back to basics again. Mike will be here with us next Sunday. Mike Oliver is the youth pastor at the church that I am out of from and my home church, I guess. I don't know whether that's my home. This is my home church, but that's the church that I was from. And anyway, that's where my pastor's at. And Mike is coming. Mike serves under my pastor down there. And so he's coming up here to be with us. And he'll be ministering Sunday. And Mike has a real burden for youth, for young people, for children. Has a real good ministry. He has a prophetic anointing. But I'm going to try to hold him back just to share some things that he's learning and what he's experiencing right now about the things of the Lord. But he's going to be here Saturday, and he's going to be ministering to our young people. So I encourage you as parents to have your young people here. He's going to be praying with them and ministering to them and just sharing some things with them about getting back to some very basic things. And I want you to have them here. And then Sunday, he'll be here ministering. And I want you to come. And I want you to bring people. I want you to bring young people. I'm going to ask him, if he will, to share some stories and some things that he's experienced. You know, when you get out from your home place, you can share things, and it's not offensive. It's educational. It helps people. When you're in your own home place, you can't share a lot of stories or a lot of things that are happening in your midst because usually the people that the story is about is sitting there, and it's embarrassing, or people put two and two together, and they find out who this is. So you can't do that. But when you get away from your place, you're able to share things in a more open way. And I believe that I'm going to have him share some very, very personal things. For example, he's dealt with some situations where there was incest in the families. He's dealt with some situations where there was homosexuality. He's dealt with some runaways. He's dealt with very, very serious situations that he would be liberated to share with us, but he couldn't share at his own place. And so I'm going to ask him, if he will, to kind of minister through that. So what I'm saying is, I'd like for you to make sure you come and invite people and be here. And Mike Oliver is a real neat guy. He's got a real good spirit, and he's just a nice person. So be in prayer about that also. Also, I really want to encourage you to be at your care groups. I think that's where we're missing. I think right now we're not having a lot of time for teaching because of the way that we're set up. And I think that you need to go to your care group so you can get ministered to it. Ours this past week at Steve Lytle's, I don't know how it really happened, but I'm the one that was really ministered to. They took time, and we were going to read a whole chapter. I think we read two verses or something. And then I said some things, and they just began to minister to me. And I really believe that some of you need ministering to also sometimes. You just need to go to these care groups and allow them, open up and allow them to look into your life and to help you and to minister to you. So I encourage you to go to your care groups this week. Get Steve his deposit, please, for camp. We always have a good camp. And Dr. Cash, what are we going to do about basics? If he'll show up, he'll be here, right? Dr. Cash still wants to do a basic teaching, get back to the foundationals. He's been teaching, I know, on something that's not probably doesn't sound real good, but it's really good. It's the Apostles' Doctrine. It's the Apostles' Creed. Now, I know that says, wow, I don't know, that's going back. No, that's not going back. If you don't understand that, what you believe, if you don't know what you believe, then you don't know what you are. And the Apostle Creed is based on nothing but what you believe. I believe in God. How many of you believe in God? That's what the Apostle Creed starts with, isn't it? Isn't that neat? I believe. And so it's working on what you believe as a Christian and giving that foundational stuff there. So I just want to encourage you. Dr. Cash is here. He's availing himself. And I want you to come and be a part of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read this, the whole chapter, for our morning readings. And I'm not going to read it again. I got 4 or 5 points that I want to share. We'll come back tonight. We'll read it again. And then we'll talk some more about tonight. But I've got 4 or 5 things that I just want to share with you that I feel like is something the Lord wants to say to this body right now. Let's pray. Father, we right now open our ears and our spirits to you. We have no need that any man should teach us, but we have the anointing. And Father, I ask you right now for the anointing to come upon each person, that the ear may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today, and specifically, Father, to our lives. And Father, that we will see today what you want to minister to us, and that we can leave out of here with something of new and fresh manna, not yesterday's manna, but today's. Something that you want us to receive today into our spirits. A bread of life today that we can partake and eat up and have it to become a part of us and us a part of it. So, Father, that we can be more like the Son, the firstborn Son, We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree with that, will you just say amen real heartily? Amen. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't know if you were here when we had the reading, but we read the entire chapter. And so I'm not going to take time to reread it. But the primary thing, or the first thing that I want to point out about this chapter, we'll read it again tonight and we'll break it down some more. But I want to say this, if you're familiar with this chapter, and if you're not, then read it real rapidly while I'm sharing. But I want to say, first of all, that people can think they are very spiritual, but only be very divided. I'll say that one more time. People can think they're very spiritual, but only be very divided. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul has been dealing with these people about their carnalities. In this third chapter, he says, I wish that I could teach you as spiritual. He says, but you're not. You're babes and you're carnal. Is that what he says? You're carnal. And so he's dealt the entire book up to this point with carnal problems, carnal things that goes on in a church that causes divisions. He has dealt with it all the way from the first chapter. And let me recite in your hearing, in your remembrance, so that you'll know that this is true. He says, you're carnal. In chapter 1, they questioned his apostleship. Some were of Peter. Some were of Paul. Some were of Christ. In chapter 4, they allowed immorality to exist in the church. In chapter 5, and 4 and 5. In 5, in chapter 5. In chapter 5, in chapter 6, they took brothers to court. In chapter 7, there was the misconceptions about divorce and remarriage. In chapter 8, there was the flaunting of their liberality to the weak brothers. In chapter 9, they were muzzling the ox that treaded the wheat. In chapters 10, they were out of order in their homes. They were going back into situations where Israel had come out, and he uses several examples there. They were going back into idolatries. And he was working with them. In 11, their homes are out of order. And he says that the head of the husband is Christ, and so forth. And he sets things in order. He begins to bring things in order. And all these are things that causes a church to divide in the natural. His real thrust does not change here. What he now is doing is now going from the natural into the spiritual. And we can think that we're real spiritual, but only be very divided. If this is not true, we would not have all these different Pentecostal churches that emphasizes the gifts of the Spirit, but yet they're divided. You have the Assemblies of God. You have the Church of God. You have the Church at Lafayette. You have all these different works that are going on, very spiritual, but very... So we can think we're spiritual, but be divided. And so Paul is here dealing with this. And what he's going to show in this section is that, folks, it's not how spiritual you are and how you manifest gifts. What shows your spirituality, and here it is, here's the emphasis of this chapter and the emphasis of what God wants us to hear. It's how you need the body and how you love the body. You can have all the gifts. You can talk with the tongues of men and angels and be nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You give your body to be burned and be nothing. So what Paul's real emphasis here in this chapter is not the gifts. His real emphasis in this chapter is the body. Now, I know that charismatics and Pentecostals like to take this chapter and teach it for the sake of the gifts, to emphasize that the gifts are for today. Now, if I have to tell you that the gifts are for today, then you're really in the wrong place. You need to know that the gifts are for today. And Paul's doing the same thing. He's not telling them that the gifts are for today. What Paul is telling them is simply this. The hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. Paul is not emphasizing the gifts here. He's saying, yeah, you can have them. But if you don't know that you have to need and love the body of Christ, you're nothing. Now, second thing is this chapter is the discourse about the body, not about the gifts. Most theologians use this chapter to prove or disprove particular points about tongues or our gifts, or so forth. But again, the emphasis is the body. The word gift or gifts is only found here in the Greek five times. It's only found in the Greek five times. Now, you'll find it nine times written. Four of those will be in italics. But that simply means that the translator's priority and prerogative was to put that there to try to bring clarity. It's not there. Oftentimes, for example, the very first verse says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," if you'll notice, if you have a King James Version, or I think anything other than an NIV, you'll notice that gifts is in italics. What that simply means is that was not in the original or the most ancient manuscript. And that was added there by the translators to bring clarity. It doesn't bring clarity. It brings you to the thought of gifts. His thought here isn't gifts. His thought is what spiritual brethren are. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What he wants us to see is what really is spiritual. Is having gifts spiritual? Or is loving the body spiritual? You've heard the message already. We could quit right now. If I did it, you wouldn't believe it. So I won't do it. Can't believe he did that. He's never done that before. Well, we'll have to wait another time to do that. The word body is found 19 times. Gifts is found how many times? Good. Body is found how many times? When you emphasize something, when you're talking to somebody and you're wanting to emphasize something, do you find yourself repeating it over and over and over again? Sure you do. Well, that's what Paul has done here. In chapters 12, 13, and 14, which is what this section consists in, gifts is found five times, body is found 19 times. What is Paul's emphasis? Gifts or the body? The emphasis in any local church is the body. We can bring teaching on the gifts, say, man, we really need to function and flow in the gifts. But if our emphasis is correct, our emphasis is on the body, then the gifts should come forth. Then there's an emphasis in this section on all and on one. It's not on the gifts. The emphasis remains and will always be the body of Christ. Paul's correcting here divisions in the body. Paul, the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, and Father wants us all to be what? One. Hear me. To show you this, let me show you this. The word all is found in this section, chapter 12 through chapter 14, 36 times. All is found 36 times. One, the word one, is found 22 times. Gifts is found 5 times. What I'm trying to get across to us today is that what the emphasis of chapter 12, 13, and 14 is not so much gifts as it is the necessity and the need to love the body. To be not fractioned and divided, but to be one. Jesus said it this way, Father, I pray for them that they be one. Even as you and I are one. Totally different characteristics, totally different personalities, but yet can still be one. Is this possible? This is possible. Many of us have totally different characteristics. We look nothing alike. We act nothing alike. But yet we can still be one in the Spirit. Am I right? Because we have how many spirits? If we have the Spirit of Christ, then there should be no power, no devil, no demon that can keep us separated. He says, I want you to be one. So the emphasis of this chapter is not gifts. The emphasis of this chapter is becoming one body. Now, with those two thoughts in mind, first of all, that people can think and surmise themselves to be very spiritual, but be very divided. And number two, that this discourse of this section is not about gifts, but about the body. With those two thoughts in mind, let me move to my third thought. Paul says he does not want us ignorant. Paul says he does not want us ignorant. Again, in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual brethren, I do not want you unaware or ignorant. I want you to have an awareness of what spiritual brethren, spiritual people are." Again, gifts is in italics. Gifts is really not there in the original. The translators put that there to make it clear, they thought. But what Paul is teaching us here is how to recognize spiritual people. Now, the word ignorant means not to know through lack of information. Not to know through the lack of information. Paul does not want the churches that he lays the foundation for to be ignorant churches. Any apostle will emphasize teaching so that his people won't be ignorant. When you lay the foundation, then you can build. And if there's ignorance in that foundation, then later on there'll be cracks. There'll be weak spots in the foundation, and the house cannot be built as large as the house should be built. So Paul says, I don't want you ignorant. I don't want you ignorant. The word spiritual means the opposite of ignorant. Means not being carnal. The word spiritual is not being carnal. So what he's saying here to us is that what I really want you to do, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uneducated. I don't want you to have a lack of knowledge of what not being carnal is. I want you to know what the difference is between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. So what I'm asking us to do is open our mind and hear what the apostle is saying in this section about the functioning of the gifts and to what makes us spiritual. And so I'll ask you a question. What makes us spiritual? Is it having the gifts, having the command of a gift or gifts? Or is what makes us spiritual loving and needing the body? Which one to you? Which one to you is more important? Are gifts important? But if all I do is do a gift and not really love or need the body, is that ministering love to the body? I want to show you an overhead of what I'm trying to project to us, of what the Corinthians' mentality was or is, and then what Paul's correction is. First of all, here is what their mentality is. The Corinthians' mentality was that the gifts should be the emphasis, that gifts were of ultimate importance, and that what this works, what this brought, or what this equaled, was a spirituality, or what really was evolving was a superiority mentality. I was talking to someone this past week, and we were talking about the prophets and people that we have come through. And from time to time, a mentality comes because the place fills up when we have prophets. When Diane Palmer comes, we have to bring out a lot more chairs. We have to do a lot of things because the prophets are here. And what that brings in our thinking is a showmanship or a coming to a place of a display or a performance. And this person was expressing that that's what they were picking up sometimes when we would have some ministries in. And this is probably true if this is our mentality. If we look at the gifts and the people that function with the gifts as spiritual or superior, then what that will also do is bring us into another mentality of display and performance. And so when we fail to function in the gifts, we feel like we've got to do it in a certain mode or a certain manner because everybody's looking at us because we're on display or because we're performing. This is the mentality that Paul is attempting to correct. There would be no or little body emphasis with this mentality, but rather an emphasis on the gift or the person. Now, how many of you will be honest, as I'm trying to be honest, and say that you have kind of felt that when gifts would be pushed and pressed to be activated and function, that you would feel that there would be a performance that had to go along with that, and that it had to be done in a particular way so that it would be received and that you wouldn't be making a fool of yourself because you had to do it so that people would receive it? Is there anybody here that will? Sure, most of us. At one time or the other, that is what we are fed because that is the Corinthian mentality. That is the charismatic mentality because the Corinthians was a very charismatic group. They emphasized the charismatic gifts, charisma. Now, Paul is addressing this. What this does is bring division in the body. So Paul is here addressing this. And here is what he adjusts. This is Paul's correction of that charismatic or that Corinthian mentality. He says, what you really need to do is forget about the emphasis on the gift and emphasize the need and the love for the body. That the foot needs the head, and the hand needs the ear, and the eye needs the nose. And once you understand that, then love begins to permeate because you begin to need each other. What you love, you feel you need. So a loving body needing each other becomes the emphasis. And if that becomes the church's emphasis, then from that will come gifts, which are a picture of a proper love and need for the body. In other words, if I begin pressing you to do gifts, I'm pressing you into performance. But if I can get across to you the need to love one another, and then as the Lord, by the Holy Ghost that dwells within each of us, ministers to you something about another person, you won't be able to wait until you get to go to that person and minister that to them. Because you know that person needs what you're saying. It's a total different thing. This is why chapter 13 follows chapter 12. He ends chapter 12 by saying this, yet I show unto you what? A more excellent way. And he starts about love. When the emphasis is the body and our need to be here, our need to be faithful to one another, our need to love one another, when we have that emphasis, when we come together, that we know that God is going to use me to minister to Michelle. She's going to use Michelle to minister to Steve. She's going to use Steve to minister to Roger. When we come with that mentality, we come with a total different idea of having somebody up here performing for us. The eye needs the ear. For if we were all the ear, what would the seeing be? We've got to learn this. I want to release us into an avenue of ministry so that we don't feel that we have got to do it in such a way of performance that we're being judged as to how we're performing. We were talking at our care group, and we were talking about this thing. That it seems that one of the hindrances in the manifestation of the gifts in this body or any body is that we feel that we've got to do it in a certain way, bring it out in a certain way, give it in a certain way, and in so doing we're being judged. Now, I'm going to get in chapter 14 in a couple of weeks, and we'll understand there that the prophetic utterance is to be judged. It says, let the prophets judge. But when you're loving somebody, you don't care if it's judged or not. Because you know you're motivated from love and not performance. Loving and needing the body and not emphasizing performance is the secret of the functioning of the gifts of the Spirit. Now this is what I feel Paul is trying to teach these Corinthians. Can you see this? Have I been able to communicate that this morning? If you know anything about this chapter, I believe you will be in agreement with me that what Paul is really trying to say here is the real important thing is not that you have a command of a gift of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a faith, or if you have command of prophecy or tongues or interpretations, if you have command of miracles, if you have command of discerning of spirits, if you have command of any, that's not what he says the emphasis is. The emphasis is that we've got to have one another. We need each other. All becoming one. For the body are many. The members are many. But the body is one. And then my last thought is that the test of 1 Corinthians 12 through 3 is very clear and evident. There is a test that he says here that you can give to see if people are spiritual. Now, we know, I'll read it so that those that aren't aware will know this. In verse 3 it says, and if if I give, well, 12. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know that if you're a believer, that if you're a spiritual person, you will not be going around cursing Jesus. Am I correct? I mean, would you think that someone was spiritual if they went around cursing Jesus? Of course not. You would not think that. There's a deeper thought here that I want to project. I believe that the apostle is saying something here in context. From time to time, we'll have people come to our fellowship and visit with us. I've got 10 till, is that correct? Okay. From time to time, we'll have people come here and visit with us. And the person will say something like this. They'll come up. They always want the microphone. They'll come and they'll get the microphone. And they'll say something like this. This is going to be hard, but the Lord's told me to say it. And so you know that what this person is about to do is curse your fellowship. Am I right now? Has anybody ever saw that happen before? Whenever they start off with, I'm just going to obey the Lord, but this is hard. I just know He wants this said. And so what I began praying right here is the spirit of Balaam upon that person. That their cursing will turn into a blessing. And do you know that it always does? And what they want to do is curse the Lord. Are we His body? If I curse you, who am I really cursing? Right. My wife said you. What you mean is if I'm cursing you, I'm really cursing myself. But if I'm cursing you, I am cursing the Lord. Am I right? Even though I may not be using His name in vain, if I'm a part of His body, a part of His bride, a part of Him, and I curse you, then I'm cursing Him. And so you don't say that the body is cursed. You don't curse another church. Now, when I was a young preacher, and I'm still a young preacher, I'll always be young. Jane just got that. My name is Delbert Young. I will always be young. Okay. When I came to this city, and before that, I cursed every church. Nobody did anything right but me. How many of you were here in those first years? Am I right? Did I do that? I did that. And I thought I was spiritual. I was not spiritual. I was not loving the Lord. I was not loving His bride. I was cursing it. You would not come up to me and curse my grandfather, would you? You wouldn't do that. But what we're doing is we're cursing denominations, or whether it be the Roman Catholics, or whether it be whatever that it is, whatever that's back there, what you're doing is you're cursing your ancestry. Because that has come down to where we are right now. I am not the same. I do things different than my grandfathers did, but they were still my grandfathers. I had two grandfathers, one on my mother's side and one on my father's side, and they were Masons. Now, Masons really aren't what you would call spiritual people. They're very mean people. Taught to be mean. But you don't come to me and curse my grandparents. And what we do is we curse that across the street, or that down the street, or that up the street, or that over there, or that. As we start cursing those things, folks, what we're doing is cursing Christ. And spiritual people just don't do that. Am I right? That's our ancestry. Now, whether they do it like we do it or not, that's irrelevant. I've never been anywhere that we do anything like anybody else does it. But God's made us all unique, hasn't He? Every member of every body, we're different. Just as this church is as different as... If that's not true, then there wouldn't be all these different places. And I'm not getting into all that, but I'm just saying that we don't curse it. We've got to understand that being spiritual is knowing that He is really Lord. Is that what that verse says? He really is Lord. And He allows that and that and that and that and this and whatever else He wants. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. He is Lord. He won't be Lord one day. He is Lord. Whatever's happening, folks, Jesus is allowing it to happen. He's Lord. Spiritual people, don't curse it. Spiritual people, know that Jesus is Lord. How many of you have ever read the book, Tale of Three Kings? Have any of you ever read that book? You need to get that book and read it. My wife got it out yesterday. She read it yesterday. It doesn't take long to read it if you just do it. It's a very, very excellent book. It's about David and Absalom and Saul. David comes to the place where Absalom has rebelled. And Absalom is now trying to take the kingdom away from his father. And this is the heart of David. David says in this book, it's not in scriptures, but it is projected in scriptures. He says, so maybe God is through with me. Maybe I have accomplished what God has for me to accomplish. Maybe God is through with me. But blessed is the name of the Lord. To David, he's still Lord. Whether he uses him or whether he doesn't. Spiritual people understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. Always has been. Always will be the same. Yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. That's the mentality that I really believe that the heart for God has. Lord, whatever you want. Here I am. Send me. Are you hearing me today? So this is it. This is what I wanted to share this morning. Capsuling. I ask you some questions. Can people think they are very spiritual, but only be very divided? But is it the Lord's will to be divided or to be one? Do gifts make us spiritual, or does loving and needing the body make us spiritual? If we will function properly with love, folks, I promise you the gifts will just come. You cannot wait to get to somebody to share with them what you feel the Lord has spoken to you to minister to them. Totally different. Totally different. Number three, if we want the gifts to function in our members, must we love the body? Do we press us to do gifts, or do we press us to understand the body? Teach the body. That's what Paul's teaching here, is the body. If I'm spiritual, will I curse any part of the body? Will I curse any part of this body or any body anywhere? No. This is what Paul is saying here. I will pick it up from there tonight, and I will attempt to finish the chapter. Once you hit a certain point, he's saying the same thing, so we can do it. But I just wanted to share this with you this morning. We've been doing 1 Corinthians for months in the evenings, in the night sessions, in the night times. It's what we've been doing. But I really felt this week just to bring this thought to us, that spiritual people love the Lord. Did these Corinthians love the Lord? They did, but they were very divided. And we can understand what spiritual people really are is by their cursing the body or blessing the body, and by understanding that Jesus Christ is really Lord. Stand with me. If I'm correct, we have about 3 minutes, 2 minutes maybe. It's right at the hour. And what I want us to do is lower our heads, and I want us to pray. You can pray in the Spirit, or you can pray in your understanding, whichever you do. And I want you to try to grasp in your spirit a word for someone that you can go and minister to a person before you leave. Not out of being pushed to do this, but out of your love for the body. Just knowing that loving the body means that you really do want to minister to people. So I just want you just to, and you might not get anything. Don't feel pressed. Don't feel you've got to perform. But understand that the Lord said this, the two major things that we've got to do as Christians is love God and do what? Love people. Hang everything else that we do on those two premises. I believe you love God. And I believe that the love of the Lord, as He moves in us and grows in us, that we'll come together to such a degree that we'll just step out and minister to one another. And so what I want us to do is pray and just see if you get a word for someone, an encouragement, an edification, an exhortation. And then as I dismiss you, go to that person. Pray for them. Love them. just say, I just want to come love you. I just want to, Lord, just really didn't say anything to me. Just tell me to come hug you and encourage you. Maybe you'll get something like that. Or maybe you'll get a word straight from the throne that will change that person's life today. So whatever that it is, just receive it of the Lord and let's just love one another as we dismiss. Father, I believe we have decreed your word today.